Yikes.
Hey, hey, hey! Welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And always remember to hug your best friends whenever you can in Minecraft. Once again, I am joined by my lovely Player 2 and Player 3 co-hosts. We're doing a co-op podcast. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, it's me. It's Stephanie, a.k.a. Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snowquare on Tumblr. And you know, the third rule of Fight Club is to never yikes the homies.
That's true.
The often ignored, but always relevant.
And I continue to be here. I'm still Eric. I'm Tendy Losey on Twitter. And I only do PvP podcasts. So y'all better get fucking ready. I'm coming for your asses.
I didn't prep all the items that I need
Minecraft.
For this.
I'm coming for your asses in Minecraft. Like, you know, so the prevalence of, like, that's what she said jokes in the world, like, really makes me respect, like, what Gen Z has done with, like, the whole tone indicator thing they were talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't get all of them, and I don't know how prevalent this really is, but it's like, you know how we have, like, slash S for sarcasm? It's mm-hmm. like, well, what if they had that for other things? Like, yo, dude, I'm coming for your ass. Like, slash, like, joking threat, or, like, slash sexual, like, I'm coming for the booty, like, non-pirate.
Gone sexual.
Yeah, like, you know, you know, like, stuff like that, you know, like, Sonic says, gotta grab the booty.
I saw fucking something like that, but it was, like, just, like, a depressing, like, untamed photo set on Twitter, but it was, like, I feel affection for you, threatening. And it ended up being, like, a really depressing photo set of, like, all the characters who have died, like, this one guy has loved who have died, and I was like, okay, I thought it was gonna be funny.
It's kind of like, other than the homophobic nature of it, like, no homo was, like, a good thing that we should have kept in a different way of saying, like, I love you, man, no homo, like, wait, what's wrong with being gay? Oh, because I love that guy in a homo way, but, like, you and I are just friends, like, you know, just to clarify. This
just
is no
to be
homo.
Specific about
this is
which
homo.
Homo.
Yeah, you know. It's like, make sure you kiss the homies goodnight. No homo, because you kiss your boyfriend goodnight. Pro homo. It's you know. But unfortunately, it was just used in, like, weird ways. Also, I'm getting old, you guys. I heard.
Yeah, we had a pre-chat about that.
So much old. We, I saw. So I was watching a video, and there was, like, it was, like, some guys being homophobic, and the guy's like, when did sus mean these two guys, like, the two guys were acting gay? I'm like, that's what it was before. Like, it's just, like, turned into something better now. Like, it just means suspicious. Like, this isn't a new development. This is an old development. Oh, no.
This is an old development, and, like, also, like, a little bit of a appropriation thing. Like,
yeah, like, you know, like, that's part
of
AAV.
I mean, on the DL did, too.
Oh, really?
It used to be, yeah, DL used to mean, like, I was, like two black guys who were, like,
no, I know
secretly,
that. What's it
yeah.
mean now?
Well, just, like,
on the down,
like,
low?
Yeah, on, just, it just means, yeah. like, yeah.
The,
like,
literal words.
Yeah, it just means, like, I was doing it, like, out
sneakily,
of the attention. Sneakily. Stealthily. Exactly, like, stealthily, like.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, so.
Like, my fucking boss was like, yeah, we're doing summer Fridays this summer, but keep it on the DL.
No, like, that's, that was always, I from what I understand, that was always, it was always both of those things, so there's just
okay.
context matter, but it was, like, still AAVE both ways, but uh-huh. it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know, we're gonna surprise Eric later, like, keep it on the down low, like, don't say anything, but, like, oh, man, Jerry and Rick, those guys are on the down low, like, don't say anything, they were real sensitive about it, you know, like, oh, okay.
Jerry and Rick, that's a weird pairing.
Oh,
that's an interesting.
Those are just two random names. I don't know why you guys have to make everything about Rick and Morty. I know you love it, Eric, but, like, not everything can
yeah.
be about that show.
It's the best.
It's coming back in 2 weeks.
Great. Can't wait to talk about it.
We'll figure out a rollout for it, but
Wubba-lubba-doo-da.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into. We're kind of late with this week's episode because life.
It
leave
sure
us alone.
Has been life.
Yeah.
So let's start with a good old food crime. We have one
the
on the list.
The naked chicken chalupa is back at Taco Bell.
What?
The naked chicken chalupa is back at Taco Bell.
Okay, so they did like a whole munch squad about this, but I do not. Tell me what the naked chicken chalupa is, Eric.
So, like, have you ever looked at a taco and you're like, I wish that shell was meat? Because that's what this is.
Oh, it's the double down!
Essentially,
it's
yeah.
Mexican double
but there's
down!
No, but there's no meat inside of it. They just put, like, the sauce and, like, lettuce and cheese in it. So it's like a...
What's the point of that, then?
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's, hey, do you want a really big chicken nugget with taco toppings?
The answer to that, like, question is not no.
Right? My answer yesterday was yes.
Which is why we didn't record it.
Had to sample the wares.
The other half.
Look, I had it before when it was first around years and years ago, and they brought it back, and now it's thicker.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
It's naked and thick. What a treat.
Yeah.
What a treat for the
lads. Yeah, they like, fucking framed it as this, like, we are starting our own chicken war, but no one can come for us because we are the only fast food Mexican restaurant, so...
Yeah.
We're not making a chicken sandwich, we're making
It's one of those things
taco.
Where I think it was originally framed as being, like, keto-friendly, because, you know, it's just meat.
It's just meat.
But
it's
when you order the meal, carbo. It comes with a regular-ass taco and burrito, so, like, that's not keto-friendly. Like, no, what the fuck are you doing?
The dish is. The item is not.
Yeah, like...
That's hilarious.
Very, very strange.
I had a food crime this week. That's just the name of this segment. It was not a crime. Yeah. It was quite good. I completely forgot due to the nature of the food crime. So I went alcohol shopping this week. And I had to go back to near where me and my partner used to live, like different parts of the city, and buy it because there's no like real good bottle shops around where I am. And I picked up three things. I'm going to get it go in increasing order. So I started with a Great Lakes, some porter. I forget what it's called, but it's delicious. They're a good brewery. That's fine. That's just a baseline. Thing number two, from Southern Tier, sponsor us, please. In these nitro cans, they have something called Iced Macchiato. It's an Imperial White Stout, which, you know, saying Imperial White's not a great combination of words together, but Stout cancels that out. It's delicious. It tastes like an iced coffee. It's 10%, real strong. When I crack the can, it goes...
And we better bring some of those to our trip.
I'm going to have to go buy some more. They only come in a 4-pack, but I can.
I was just going to laugh.
Like, it's going to... I have to go there anyway because of the Pistol Resistance. The reason I went there, I checked on a beer app to see where they had this because I was destined to find them. I wanted to get some of that White Claw Surge. And... you know, an 8% White Claw in a beefier can. It was blood orange, not red. It was
fucking
good.
Pretentious.
It just, it tastes like a regular White Claw, obviously. But it just kind of sneaks up on you, like, wait a minute. I haven't had anything to eat today. Uh-oh. And they had lots of other ones, like Bud Light Platinum, the Natty Light ones. And they also had a lot of non-alcoholic beer. I guess you can just buy Budweiser, Coors Light. Non-alcoholic, and I can't imagine drinking a non-alcoholic Coors Light. That
like,
is a
the whole point.
When you just love the taste of
exactly.
Coors Light.
It's not even the champagne of beers, my dude.
This is gross. Piss.
Yeah.
I guess that's for all like the water sports fetishists out there that actually don't want to fully go into it, so they just buy non-alcoholic Coors Light so it doesn't burn when it gets in your eye.
I hate the sentence
you
just said.
Wow, you just said a whole thing. That's something you just said.
I hated every part of that.
Every part of that was fucking a different journey that we went on together.
Look, I'm here for the homies through thick and thin. But no, the White Claw Surge, it was very good. I think it's going to still be hard to find because White Claw is like the name brand seltzer. But the like I said, there was like the Bud Light one and like other brands that are probably worth trying. So I can pick up some of those.
Guys, it's been
ones.
2 years since White Claw debuted, and there was like a White Claw shortage because everyone wanted it.
Yeah, and then there was
a
life shortage.
we had a worse kind of shortage.
I think I still have some of the original White Claw that I bought from that first like run on White Claw 2 years ago. Like I think it's still in the fridge because I just didn't like it.
That's a fucking collector's item, baby. You gotta take that on an Antiques Roadshow.
That's aged.
This is an original White Claw. It's the mango
aged.
Flavor. It's terrible.
Finally aged White Claw.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of cool drink stuff. And, one last food crime. This is a Steph one. Take
this
it away.
This is Steph food crime. So, this is just so fucking funny to me. Like, You know how we had Thanks Obama, but it was only ever used sarcastically? I thought for one second, one brief, peaceful second, that maybe the right had learned how to meme.
That was the closest they've ever been. Yeah, you're a good point.
It's like, yeah, really, they really were. It's like that fucking, like, asymptotic event horizon shit. Like, so...
We're great at words today. I gotta pat you on the back.
They're just glowing.
Yeah, not to interrupt, my apologies, but very good.
Thank you. But, so the... A Republican candidate for something put... So apparently, let's start... To start at the very beginning, apparently there's a shortage of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Okay.
Apparently it is only a shortage in the actual Chick-fil-A locations because every grocery store that I went into on vacation in North Carolina had just displays of Chick-fil-A sauce that you could buy in, like, jars to squirt on your various condiment-requiring items. I don't know. Or just directly into your mouth if you're an animal.
Ugh.
But... So this Republican politician saw in the existence of this shortage of Chick-fil-A sauce an opportunity. This man has no connection whatsoever to the ability of Chick-fil-A
to sauce stock, production.
Sauce production, stocking, manufacturing, etc. But he did claim that it is Joe Biden's fault, that there is no more Chick-fil-A sauce, and that you are being, that, like, it's a goddamn liberal conspiracy that Chick-fil-A, a business known for its liberal policies, has decided to stop giving more than one sauce packet per customer until the sauce package shortage has been solved. And, like, I am not, I have now spent more, probably more of my life left of center than I did right of center. Oh, but, like,
hey, congrats.
I could probably fucking, if you gave me 10 minutes, come up with so many different spins on that that are actually, like, decent political takes. Like, oh, like, because of Joe Biden, like, Chick-fil-A is, like, because it's, like, jobs moved overseas, so, like, if we were doing Chick-fil-A sauce production in the U.S., like, we wouldn't have this problem. Like, if you paid the people who made the Chick-fil-A sauce more, like, the people who transport the Chick-fil-A sauce more, like...
That's not a Republican talking point. Nothing about paying anybody more, ever.
Yeah, but, like... The fuck, like, U.S. jobs, like, that's supposed to be a Republican talking point. Like, yeah. I don't know, like...
There's better takes than Joe Biden took away the sauce. Like, that's such a weak ass, like, come on, bro,
Joe,
like...
Joe, but it's a weak sauce argument.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway. Just the idea that, like, someone looked at, like, oh, we don't have any Chick-fil-A sauce, and was like, this is... This is literally the Principal Skinner meme. Like, this must be Joe Biden's fault. Like, maybe, like, so, like, apparently Chick-fil-A isn't doing badly, even though they continue to be, like, a garbage moral company. Well, like, I mean, because they have enough customers to require sauce.
Yeah, a sauce shortage is actually a very good sign for Chick-fil-A, honestly, if you think about it. Especially when it's only one sauce, so it's, like, not like they have a supply issue, it's just... They're running out of their flagship sauce.
Yeah.
It's good for them, just, but, like, screw them.
Yeah. It's just, finally, like, if you are mad at Chick-fil-A for limiting the sauce, why don't you boycott Chick-fil-A?
I actually have a Chick-fil-A question.
Yes, go.
So, the Chick-fil-A's are, I mean, you're not going to be able to answer this because you're in New York City, where this would just not be a thing.
In New York City.
No, because it's specifically about drive-thrus at Chick-fil-A.
Ah.
Okay.
Because the drive-thrus around here for Chick-fil-A, you know, when you go through a drive-thru, you talk to somebody in a speaker, you know, and you sometimes get to see your order on a screen and, you know, then you go and you pick it up from window. All the Chick-fil-A's that I've been to in the past couple years, they make what appear to be literal children stand outside and take your order.
That ain't like, me, fam. I don't know about
with, like, a
that.
Tablet. And they did that during the pandemic.
Actually, no, I did see that once in Erie.
I thought
it was, like, a work, like, a intern program thingy.
No, that's just a thing they do, apparently. Yeah, there are no Chick-fil-A interns that I know of.
I mean, if they do exist, they're not paid.
Yes. But it's just a very strange thing. I just wanted to know if that was, you know, just a thing that I saw or if that was a common occurrence, you know.
I think
if you're a listener and you've seen this happen, please
again,
tell
like,
me.
Like, I feel it's just you complimented me on my wordsmithery and now it's just going to go all the way downhill from here. But the thing that just is so wild to me, and I know that it's 2020 fucking one and we are so far past asking for any kind of logical thinking from anyone, even to our own personal right, like even Joe Biden, we have gone past the pale of asking for logical reciprocal thinking. But like, it's like when company does anything you remotely see as left of you, you boycott that company. When company you like does something that you don't like, you boycott Joe Biden? Like,
or if, you destroy the items that company makes, like Keurigs.
Yeah, well, it's like people are like never buying a Nike shoe again. It's like, okay, where's that energy for never buying Chick-fil-A again, fucking trying to limit my sauce intake? This is America, goddammit. Like,
there's no logical consistency, not even from like a hypocritical standpoint. It's like there's no traceable ideological philosophy other than like F the libs, and even then it's not consistent enough to like be traceable. Well, there's that.
Yep.
That's that. So shall we head forward and on?
Yeah, let's go. Let's look to the past. Internet Explorer is being phased out, I guess. You said it's like
because they have Edge.
Yeah, they have Edge now. Like, did you see like a final like death knell for it or something? Or
yeah, the like the daily news podcast that I listened to this morning, their like moment of like
the moment of like, silence.
Well, they did like a like an in memoriam basically, but like every like since they didn't use to do this, but since the pandemic started, they do like a small like before they cut to ads section that they call like checking our temperatures, where they talk about like some like very low stress news item.
Yeah.
Appreciated.
Yeah, which is like I can dig that. But today it was like we heard that, you know, they're finally gonna phase out IE, like. Just like reminiscing on like waiting for like 40 seconds for a page to load only to find out that you didn't have the right Macromedia Shockwave plugin to like actually watch whatever you were trying to view, like the like all of the times we spent together with IE. Edge exists. I feel like fewer people use Microsoft Edge than people use Bing.
I've used it a couple times for...
I was going to say, it's actually my primary browser because it has a low system memory usage.
Yeah, I've used it a couple times like for things that just wouldn't load on Chrome for whatever reason. And if... I don't know, I like the integrations of Chrome, but like I could definitely see if I did more streaming stuff or anything else that would require CPU, using Edge is like my side thing. Just because Chrome's like, what if your CPU... was mine.
Yeah. Chrome is like, I'm just gonna eat, like, every tab is gonna be like a new instance of Chrome and go fuck yourself. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, Chrome blows. I don't disagree with that. The IT guys at my work are like, Chrome is what most of our, it's really actually insane because that's what most of our internal like infrastructure is built to run off of Chrome.
Yeah.
But, like, you guys built that. Why did you build it in Chrome?
Ours is actually, like, supposedly works best with Internet Explorer, so this is going to be a big blow to the internal IT team at my work. But
There are a few, like, a few systems that we can only use IE4, like...
Yeah.
So what's going to happen when I have to code an invoice in 3 years? It's going to be like trying to do home stuff without Flash.
Shaka bra.
It's mostly, like, that, yeah, it's mostly for our clients. You know, they want things in Internet Explorer for whatever reason. But, yeah, no, Edge is actually not a bad browser, so...
Well, better, that's good to know.
Better to replace that with Internet Explorer, in my opinion, so...
That's cool. And let's
move on. I just know that every time I log into my work account, it has somehow reinstalled itself on my taskbar, even though I unpin it from the taskbar every time I restart my computer.
Gross. That's not so fun.
You should lock the taskbar.
I don't know if I have admin so, abilities.
Dom got that joke.
Lock the taskbar, sung to the tune of the Clash.
Rock the taskbar. Yeah.
Every time I hear that song, I just think of the song that Will Smith sampled it for. It was like a song off the Willennium album, which was a banger of an album. Fuck you.
Wow.
Summer Games Done Quick, 2021. I forgot how to say years that aren't just saying 2021. I was like, 2000, what the hell is this? Yeah, Summer Games Done Quick, the schedule got released. And yay. Yeah, that's good for charity. I am going to miss the first couple days of it because I will be in the woods. But when I get back, I will watch that and watch lots of speedruns. It's lots of fun, and I think it's still digital this year, but I can see maybe either Awesome Games Done Quick or Summer Games Done Quick 2022 maybe being in person, which could be very nice.
Do they always benefit the same charity, or is it different?
I believe it is
year by year.
Different every year, but I could be wrong. I haven't been watching it long enough to just remember. But I also,
just curious.
How do I find it? This is something that I would normally say I'll look later, but I want to look just because I feel like this is kind of important. I actually will look while we're talking about some other stuff, but...
Okay. I'm going to say, I could Google it.
Yeah, if one of you could Google that, that'd be great. Because I know, they do other GDQ events, like Fleet Fatales, which is like their women event. They do like COVID Relief Done Quick. They've done ones for other things that are specific that are just kind of pop-up events, and then they just have stuff like all year round, but they're two marquee events. I'm not sure if they benefit different things. I feel like Awesome Games had like a new sponsor this year. I can't remember, so but it's really good for charity, and the fans get really involved with it. I know this last year there was it was like a medical charity. And they said, honestly, this is very weird and odd for us because a lot of us are researchers. So the only stuff we really know about games is not we have a problem with it. But it's like our kids playing Fortnite or we remember playing games when we were younger. And now, like, one of our biggest donors is Games Done Quick. So, like, yeah, I think, like I said, one charity said, like, over 20% of their donations in their lifespan had been from GDQ. Just because they can clear, like, $3 million by the end, depending on what some of the final games are.
It's kind of similar to the Extra Life that...
Yeah, exactly.
The charity has not been revealed yet.
Okay, so it's different every year. Then. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember one year there was a guy, he's one of the like big people at Games Done Quick, Keys Run, was doing, I want to say it was a Let's Go Eevee run. And there was like, people were like, pet the damn Eevees. Like, it's going to mess up my time to do this, but like, obviously it's a marathon, obviously, so it doesn't matter. So he was petting the Eevee, like for every donation that has... me do that, I will pet this Eevee that comes in. And you know, he's like, oh yeah, you know, you should donate money for your favorite Pokemon. Your favorite Pokemon's Pikachu, you should donate $25. And people were like donating for like Gen 6 Pokemon, like this one's 632, so here's $632.
Oh my god.
And it was just like, I think it was like a $50,000 like event, like that game alone. Like when COVID relief, some people are like, look, I'm doing fine, so here's my whole stimulus check. Like, I literally don't need it as much as other people might, just have it. But I'm gonna put it towards the incentive of like, do Streets of Rage with this character, because that's something that you could do. So, really, just a fun, you know, wholesome event. But also just wild sometimes too. So, looking forward to that.
We'd love to see it.
Let's keep talking about video games, shall we?
Let's do it.
We're late. Sorry. Final Fantasy 14 Fan Fest was a Friday ago.
Yeah. It was...
sorry, I went on vacation. Just fucked it all up.
No, you know, we had the whole opportunity to do a whole episode, but we even mentioned in the last episode, we just elected to not do it. So, partially my bad on that, but, you know.
Well, partially the naked chicken chalupa's bad.
Yeah, right. But yeah, that happened last Friday. It was, you know... I don't want to like kind of recap the whole thing, but there's a couple really good, you know, clips that if you are, even if you are not interested in Final Fantasy XIV, you should go watch the conductor or the composer try to recreate.
It was really charming.
Yes. Yeah. He is very charming. He should, you should go watch the clip of him trying to recreate the song called La He, cause he sings it, which is a like extremely high pitched female vocal usually. And he also plays the backing, soundtrack of it on the automaton. So
amazing.
It's very good. But yeah, like it came, like he announced at this event that he had been battling cancer the whole last year and actually was like composing music for the game while like in the hospital, like for, you know, his treatment.
And most of the team didn't know that he was there, right?
The only person on the team who knew was the lead developer, Yoshida P, or Yoshi P.
Yes, remember the look on one of the female developers was like, "Oh my god, bro, I wouldn't have been sending you stuff to do."
Yeah. In a later like sit down discussion between Yoshi P and the lead writer, who I apologize, but I can't remember her name right now. She straight up said, she was like, "I had no idea that he was in the hospital. I was sending him so much work." Because she was like, I was like writing the ending story and I was sending him the story to be like, you need to write backing music for this. Mm-hmm. And like sending like notes back and forth. And she's like, he was like in the hospital and she had no idea. But he said that he appreciated it because he felt like it gave him a reason to like continue. Like he appreciated the having a lot to do. So,
it's just seeing how much like Yoshi P, just like the man was like, bro, like he couldn't even, I was like, he just cries so much. I'm like, yeah, that's,
well, it, you know, he that, even straight up said it like
best friend.
during one of his speech or, you know, talks during the fan fest, he's like, people were worried that he was going to leave the project because in the first fan fest, he kind of made it sound like he's like, oh, this is the final bit of the game. And made it sound like he was like winding down his story with the game. And he was like, no, this is my life's work. Like, this has been like the absolute, like the thing that I am doing. And the composer Soken feels the same way. So it's just incredible to see like people pour so much of their life and like, you know, themselves into something like that.
We talked about it in a group chat, like, you know, here we're very much against like crunch and like overwork culture. Mm-hmm. But I said that, like, I'd love to find something that I was so passionate about that I'm, like, literally on a potential deathbed. I'm like, no, I want to do this. List. Like, this is what's helping me, like, keep in good spirits. Like, that's, like, that kind of passion is really cool. And they should never be expected of anybody. But it's so cool to see, like.
Yeah. And, like, the whole event, like, the concert was very good. You know, the content that they revealed for the next expansion, very hype for, you know, the new trailer was super cool.
Bunny boys.
They hit us with a secret reveal at the very end of male Viera, which are the bunny people. So bunny people boys. Were very excited about that. But no hats for the bunny people.
It's just so funny.
That's speciesist.
Yeah.
It's so funny to see, like, all the wild, ridiculous things that happened in this, like, in contrast to, like, the very heartfelt moments that happened.
Because,
like, even when Soken was talking, you could see, like, the costume people that were, like, a Chocobo and a Moogle were like,
Yes. Like, do I keep
moving and dancing to try to lighten the mood? Is this somber? Like, I have no idea what to do. I'm crying in here. Like, they didn't tell us about this. And then, like, the day before, was it Yoshi P was in, like, the Reaper costume standing next to the CEO? He was like,
yes.
Like, come on, dude.
It was so funny.
Like, that's...
I also, they had a new live translator for the, for some of the developers. I don't remember her name, but I felt for her in the way that this was her first time being on stage, live translating for an event like this. And you're live translating for the head developer and the CEO of the company you work for. And like, she was just like a localization person.
Yeah, no pressure.
Like, yeah, no pressure. The CEO's just here. Don't worry about it. But, you know, the content they revealed for the game was pretty cool. The Reaper job, you get a ghost. There's Moon's Haunted. Moon's Haunted. We get to go to what I can only describe as like a nuclear bunker that somebody built, because it's like a full ass like fake outdoors with big buildings, like, but in a big underground dome. So yeah, it's somebody's yeah, it's like somebody's Fallout shelter with the weird, like, I can only say that it was like compression or something on the stream because that music sounded absolutely god awful. But it's, you know,
like, you know, Fallout can't do Fallout 76 right, we'll do it. Yeah, and we'll go to the moon, why not,
right? But yeah, like, you know, the art looked fantastic. I'm very excited. I'm reserving a week off when it comes out. Official release date, I believe early access was November 19th, full release November 24th or 26th, one of the two.
Cool.
So
vacation time,
yep,
coming
right around Thanksgiving.
Nice. Well, you know, about a week after the Final Fantasy 14 stands were prospering, us over here in Overwatch 2 land, we're like getting drip fed. So there's also this past week, and actually an AMA happened today that I have not gone through. There's like a Reddit AMA and there's like lots of Q&A. I'm not even going to broach that on this topic or on this podcast, but you can go check it out. There's lots of resources. Friend of the show, Sabriel, does, she blogs like for Overbuff. It's like a site. It's related to Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And she compiled all the AMA questions. So if you go to at Overbuff on Twitter, you can like find all that information. But a couple days ago, Wednesday, they did like a 2.5 hour stream with the developers. I thought they were going to give us like some half an hour, 15, like piddly, like, hey, here's what we're looking at. But no, they showed us a lot. The new game developer was there. Like some of the casters for the Overwatch League were like hosting the event. They had some content creators and stuff. And some big news. So Overwatch 2, the player versus player stuff is going to be 5v5 instead of 6v6. Which has a lot of ramifications for a lot of things. Overwatch League predominantly is going to have to change the way the rosters are structured. Because right now the game is played 2 tanks, 2 supports, 2 damage characters. It's going to go to 1 tank character. And they're going to rebalance all the tanks to be able to function in a capacity that A, doesn't need another tank, and B, can go against some of the other tanks. You know, when you have a big, giant German man in a suit of armor with a big shield, like, what do you do as, like, an Australian big boy, you know? Like, it's kind of, the odds aren't in your favor, but they need to change it in a way that they could be, so. And, you know, they showed a lot of new maps, some of the new character designs, new role passives, try to, like, make the game more fun, and if anyone cares about Overwatch, in my opinion, I do think this will be a good change eventually, but it's going to take some adjusting to get to, just because, like, we're all used to playing the game a certain way now. This is a very radical change, but I think it'll be, I don't know the ramifications for, like, the top level on, like, the ladder and, like, the professional play, but I'm fully of the mind that this is going to make the game a lot better for everybody who's, like, casually playing, because now you're not going to get a situation where you have, like, someone pick, like, Roadhog and Zarya, where not, and the other team has 2 shields, and you're just getting sniped all day, and you can't fight back. Like, that can't happen anymore. It could still kind of happen, but the odds of it happening are a lot different, so that's cool for us plebs down in Platinum and below. They released new maps, so New York's going to be a map, and true to New York, the sirens were blaring. the payload is a little, like, fire machine.
I don't know
machine.
Anything about that. no experience with that kind of noise.
We've never had sirens on this podcast. Not, I mean, it's jinxed now, but odd to not have them so far, but okay. Thanks, New York. But yeah, it's cute. There's, like, a little omnic guy just driving the truck throughout the city of New York, and people are like, if he was responding to a fire, those people are dead, because there are some people trying to stop this payload from being delivered, like, what is this. But the map looks very beautiful. They showed us New York is a hybrid map. They showed us Rome, which is like their new push mode map. They showed us Toronto again. They showed us Rio, which I think is also hybrid. It's where Lucio's from. Like, you go through his club and, like, the favela he's from. And they showed us Monte Carlo. So that's cool. That's a very steep map. A lot of design stuff going on there. So it's, like, really cool. And they showed us, like, some of the balance changes they're thinking about doing and lots of different stuff. So really promising news for Overwatch 2. Playing Overwatch 1, like, happy anniversary, I guess. It's it was released 5 years ago today on the 24th. So, good luck with the skins, but not a lot of changes coming. Yeah, it is what it is. I get it. It's very strange. The game has a very consistent player base, player base and viewer base on Twitch. Like, it's not the game of the month anymore, but it has, like, a consistent, like, 17 to 20,000 viewers, like, around the clock, which is good, I guess, for a game that's, like, quote-unquote dead. But, you know, I still enjoy it, for what it's worth, with friends anyway. But yeah, so there's that. More black women in Blizzard games, please. Did I tell you guys about this? I was looking through characters on Heroes of the Storm, like their mashup game. Basically, like Blizzard Super Smash Brothers, but it's like a League of Legends type game.
Yeah. I really like that MOBA. It's too bad that they stopped supporting it.
They stopped giving like competitive support because they're still releasing characters, I think, for it.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, they just released a bunch of like Overwatch character skins for other characters in that game. Like, if you want to look like Reinhardt, one of the characters can now do that.
Weird.
Yeah, apparently that game still gets updates.
Well, because like I thought when they announced the like discontinuation of competitive support that was also just it for all of it.
Apparently not.
Cool. That was really well like messaged.
I thought that too. But they have two original characters which caused some controversy just because it kind of defeats the purpose of the game. But there's two characters that are unique to Heroes of the Storm. There aren't any other Blizzard games. And so Blizzard has so few black women in their entire like franchises that they had to make up a whole ass black woman just to have a black woman in Heroes of the Storm. Just because there's none. There's none. Like, but we don't want that to be true for this game. So we'll just make one up. Which, that makes it the most, that makes it the most proactive game in Blizzard's catalog. But wow, really weird thing. But yeah, so more games. Ratchet and Clank, the game that we've talked about, their memes and other stuff about them. Released
good
a big
ass memes.
Yeah, a big list of a lot of the accessibility features that are coming to the new game coming out. And it's very hard to search for Insomniac games on Twitter because the word Insomniac is a common word. I can't find it, but there's like a lot of stuff with there we go, it's right here. Let's see if we can scroll down. But there's a lot of June 11th. Wow, that game is coming out very soon.
Oh.
I did not realize that. And they do some really good advertising with these games, and the memes are very good. They just keep releasing memes that they made up that aren't in the game. They're just literally for internet clout. But they have like stuff like for the firing mode. You can change it from like the default mode, or just hold it down to shoot, or just toggle because maybe turn it on and off. Different kinds of auto aims and aim modes, aim assists, lock-ons, stuff like that. Off-screen ledge guard like prevents you from inadvertently falling off on-screen ledges, which is just a nice thing. Contrast settings, flight assist so that like it levels out. Contrast options, motion blur settings, screen shake settings, waypoint displays, icon and prompt size. So a lot of the stuff is like quality of life if you're like a hardcore gamer, but also like, hey, this could be very useful depending on the kind of like sight ability you have. Changing different like colors on the screen of like your reticules and stuff. Fully customize your control scheme or choose between presets. So like if you have any accessibility issues that maybe you can't press certain button combinations, they said we're not here to tell you how to play the game, so you can make these controls whatever you need them to be, which is very cool. They have a thing that's called simplified traversal. Moves all traversal actions to a single button input. This includes whatever the Rift Tether is, the swing shot, phantom dash, and hover boots. So if you have, like, again, limited access, you can just use a few buttons, and then it's just, like, a lot of things that, like, yeah, we want the most amount of people to be able to play our game and experience in a way that is either comfortable for them, accessible for them, fun for them, because the more people that can play a game, the better. Who cares how they play it? And I think that's a really beautiful thing to do in games, and more people should do it.
Yeah. Microsoft, you know, a couple years ago put out a really great adaptive controller that is supported by, I believe, all consoles and PC. Like, they did not lock it behind, like, being Xbox exclusive.
They have something with, it says adaptive triggers, experimental, functional, or off adaptive trigger settings for various levels of vibration and resistance. So I don't know if that's, like, something to do with the PS5 controller or, like,
the
Microsoft controller,
I think that's the PS5, the haptic feedback on the triggers that could require you to push down harder. The Microsoft's, like, adaptive controller can be, like, laid out as different buttons on a table. It can be like partial controller support, partial like big buttons, like depending on your level of like ability with like, you know, hand movement, that kind of stuff. It's actually a really cool piece of technology, and it's one of the things that I fully supported Microsoft in, like, that they were like, we're just putting this out, you know, it's this much money and it's as cheap as we can make it and anybody can use it on any system.
That's
so
really cool. I'm glad stuff like that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, some like 1% of the time, video games aren't bad. And another game came out this past week, and then we'll move out of the games world. There's a My Hero Academia gacha game, I guess, on phones. I had signed up for, like, to be reminded when it came out. Yeah, like, iOS and Android. It's basically a gacha game. That's the way it's building itself up. They have, like, all their weird currencies in it. You start as Deku, and you want to collect other heroes. The gameplay itself is kind of alright. Like, you kind of move around. The way the buttons are labeled, like, this was supposed to, like, be on computers, huh? Like these, like, label, like, W, R, A, Q. Like, why are these letters have nothing to do with anything? But you can kind of move around a little bit. You tap buttons to do moves or specials and stuff like that. And so far, like, all of Class 1A is in there, and Eraserhead and All Might. The game's fun to play, like, when you're actually out battling, but some of the stuff in between is like, do I want to play this game? Like, is this going to be something that would be worth investing time and or money into at some point? I don't know. There's videos about it, and obviously whenever you have games like this, there's some characters are better. And I don't want to be in a situation where it's like, well, I need Bakugo or Todoroki to win matches when maybe I want to use Jiro because she's my favorite.
Welcome to the pain of mobile
games. Welcome
to Gacha
World.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So I'm playing Dragalia Lost, and I'm still very much enjoying it. But there's so many characters there that I have no prior connection to. It's like, oh man, this character is really good. If I get them, that's great. If I don't, like, I don't care. I don't know who they are. Like, other than, like, when they do the events, like, oh, I want that character, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them. But, like, part of the appeal of My Hero is, like, well, I want a situation where, like, I can, you know, get the best use out of these characters. And if they have, like, bad stats or bad moves, it's like, oh, like, apparently Kaminari's a trash hero. I'm like, but his electricity's so good, like, other than him, this is, like, frying his brain. Like, he doesn't really have a lot of weaknesses, but, like, he's bad? That sucks. Okay.
Yeah, that's like, the Dissidia Final Fantasy game that I play.
Which is not the one with Ariana Grande in it?
No, that's the...
That's Brave Exodus?
Brave Exodus. Something like that.
Exodia?
Exvius. Brave Exvius. A word that isn't real, so...
Yeah, I knew it was
fuck
something.
It. Yeah, the Dissidia game, you know, like, basically every update they release, it's like new characters become like flavor of the month. So it's like, if you have a favorite character, it sucks to be you, because you better get used to just using whoever is best at the time.
Yeah, I was lucky that when I was playing the Sega Heroes game, the characters I liked were pretty good. Like, everybody who was, like, playing that game, like, the competitive mode, like, all the teams had Shadow the Hedgehog in them, because he had, like, a really good stun move. And then a lot of them either had Sonic or, like, one other character, because Sonic could basically just, like, get infinites. Tails was really good in, like, the one mode, but not really for competitive, but I used him anyway because I'm, like, I'm a Sonic stan. And then for the green character, like, there was, like, I don't know, I used, like, some, like, I think the dude from Shinobi, who was, like, a super hardcore glass cannon, and a lot of people used him, but it's, like, whoever got, like, the first match just won, because he would just, like, build up and up and up. But there were other viable characters in that game, but everybody had Shadow. Like, he was just so ridiculously built and emo, you know, the Baku Deku of hedgehogs.
in one being.
Oh, I meant him and Sonic, but yeah, actually that too.
Oh.
Speaking of Sonic, this is not on our topic list, but I know you probably saw the 30th anniversary book they're doing.
Yeah. I'm not even going to lie, I always leave too many tabs open because I want to get to some of them, but, like, the tab right before our meet that we're on right now is the deluxe, Encyclopedia.
Yep.
And I was trying to figure out, because I have, like, the 20th anniversary one, and I'm like,
if this one was that different.
Like, how different is it? Because I want this, but I don't know, like, I want the limited edition-ness of it, but I could just buy, like, commission a print to put around the book I already have. I also have one as a gift. It's like the 25th one. They're basically the same thing. So, like, I'm a mark.
The other thing,
I'm not that hard of a mark.
The other Sonic news this week was that there are rumors that a new, like, Sonic collection is going to be released.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, what's the Sonic game that you want to appear in the collection that hasn't appeared in a collection before?
I don't know. I feel like there's only two games that match that description, really. Right, like. It's just the, I guess it'd be everything after the Genesis games, though, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just remastered, like, just ported or remastered?
I would say, like, usually they just do ports where they just like put them all in like a collection and, you know, call it Sonic Gems or whatever.
I don't know, man. Like, maybe Sonic Unleashed.
Infinity.
Unleashed? I was going to say Sonic 06. I want to see them try to, like, actually make Sonic 06 playable in a new collection. Also,
like, actually, like, make it work? Like,
yeah, just make it load. Like, the load times wouldn't be 20 seconds or something.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think you can... I'd like to see that run on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Or an Xbox Series X.
Right, where the load times are very fast.
It could probably run that game almost okay. But no,
and then the like colors and like all of that stuff, like that'd be cool to have in like one collection.
What is it like? That's to be like the modern era from Sonic Generations. So like 06 Unleashed in colors, like in a group.
Yeah.
That's a lot of data, but I don't know. I'd like to see Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 actually like remastered and like touched up to like get rid of some of the glitchiness. Maybe like change the child guard and stuff that was like relatively inconsequential. Maybe go back and make a different bonus stage, because like we've seen Green Hill Zone so much in so many better ways since then, that's not really much of a prize.
It's true.
So I don't know, I think there's some things you could do with that to make it a lot better. Maybe go back and change the Knuckles Emerald radar, because I'm not going to say that programming is easy, but based off the fact that it's a system that almost exists in Sonic Adventure 1, it seems like there's a couple of variable changes you could probably change.
Yeah.
I have no clue how true that is, but out of all the changes you'd have to do in a remaster, that seems like a simple home run, conceptually at least. The amount of code that would take, I have no idea, but yeah, I'd like to see that.
I would also like to see an actual like good re-release of Sonic 3 and Knuckles, you know, like without the licensing issues and stuff.
Yeah, we're never going to get that. You might as well just play Angel Island Revisited.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want that. Go ahead, Steph.
I was just gonna say, at this point, like, the, like, Wii Plaza music is just playing in my head. All of this is so far above my Sonic pay grade, but carry on, boys.
So, I don't think we'll ever get a remastered Sonic, because they're never going to admit to, like, what Michael Jackson's involvement was of that.
Yeah.
And even though some of those other tracks were decent or could fit better, it's never going to sound right, you know? I've heard Ice Cap Zone, Launch Base, and Carnival Night too many times to, like, oh, yeah, just throw something else in there. Like,
right.
It's too iconic for me personally. That said, go ahead and yellow it up. I don't care. Like, I'll still get it. Have T-Lopes make some new songs. I don't know. I was going to ask you, Steph, because this is above your pay grade. Is there a Sonic game that you've heard of or seen memes from that you'd be willing to give a shot of if it was like accessible on the Switch? And like, is there any game that like, oh, I'd like to give that a shot because it seemed like there was something interesting in it,
like specifically a Sonic game?
Yeah, Sonic game, like out of anything from the very first one to the most recent one, if there's anything that you've seen or like, oh, that seems interesting enough.
I'll go ahead and rule one out for you. You don't want to play the very first one.
Yeah, I feel like that tracks. Honestly, despite listening to so much discussion of Sonic over the last like 4 or 5 years of doing this podcast, I could not tell you with any certainty which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones.
That's fine. So, neither can anybody who's a fan of it. So.
It's true.
You have as solid of an opinion as any given 3 Sonic fans, so welcome to the club.
Okay, so I honestly am like struggling to even do names, but like, what is there's Sonic Forces and Sonic Mania, and you played one of them during our charity stream.
Sonic Forces is what he played. Sonic
Forces, yes.
Okay. Did you enjoy that?
That's a tough question. I enjoyed playing that game with you guys, and I'm glad that I played it. To say that I went back and played it a few more times, like a couple of the stages that I did like some of the better Sonic ones, and a few of the ones that I just wanted to hear the song. There's worse games out there, but I wouldn't like waste time getting that game. Like, watching it was probably a sufficient experience, I'd say.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just, like, I'm willing to take a chance on pretty much any game that is cheap in the Switch store.
Yeah.
But like, I would definitely like still have to circle back with y'all about which ones I should get.
That's
based
fair.
On my inability. It's like sorry to this man, but I have no memory of no, which ones are good and bad.
That's fair. That series is such a weird level of, like, it's such a niche fandom, but also everyone knows about it to some level.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know.
It's like I still genuinely, like, enjoy, like, I look back fondly on and still consider myself a fan of Homestuck, but I wouldn't ask anyone, like, I wouldn't say, like, recommend it to people.
Right.
And, like, I feel like Sonic fandom is a similar way, where, like, you're like, most of this is trash, but I really enjoy part of it, and it has nostalgia value for me, so I'm sticking with it.
I think the best way to think about the Sonic fandom or any particular Sonic game would be like a chocolate chip cookie with the best chocolate chips you've ever had, but there aren't enough of them in the cookie. So it's just like a, like, not even a sweet cookie, like a bland ass cookie that you're like, wait, how did you mess this up? But the chocolate chips are so good that you're like, maybe one day they'll get the cookie right and it'll be oops, all chocolate chips even maybe. But no, they just keep releasing the same, like, bland ass cookie with really good morsels in it. But you just keep
eating that cookie.
And it's like, damn, this cookie, bro, like, this person's almost really good at making cookies. Like, you gotta try this. And you give it to your friend, so they take a bite, like, what the fuck is this? Like, no, keep eating. And they get to the chocolate chip, like, bro, that's the best chocolate I've ever had in my life. And they keep biting to find more, and then there's just not anymore. And like, what is this? You're like, I don't know, man. Like, enjoy the ride, baby. So, you know. But anyone out there, I would recommend, without, like, much question, you know, like, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, or Sonic Adventure 2, or Sonic Mania. There's something there for everybody. With the caveat of just remember to press up and down when you get to the barrels in Sonic 3. It's a weird esoteric solution that actually makes a ton of sense that trapped many of us for years. But yeah, we'll jump off that. We can always talk about Sonic some other time.
I mean, not to dissuade you from talking about Sonic. I just wanted to.
No, I was just looking at the time of the podcast. Like, I could talk about Sonic forever. I'm not put upon.
Don't stop on my account, boys.
No, I can always talk about Sonic stuff. I'll do another presentation sometime soon. But yeah, so this isn't video games at all. This is Dear Evan Hansen.
You have thoughts? You really just fucking sprung that on me.
Like Spring Yard Zone, like from Sonic 1. Haha.
Exactly. Yeah, I knew this was coming, both, like, logically, like, that I had said we would talk about this, and also logically that it is the next thing on the list.
I don't even know what it is.
So Dear Evan Hansen is a musical. It won the Tony Award undeservedly in 2017. It was the first one of the very first bad things about 2017. Shortly, you know, like, beat out by, you know, Trump being inaugurated. Right. But you know, 2017 was a hell year, and Dear Evan Hansen was part of that. It is a musical that is billed about being about, like, acceptance and bullying and mental health awareness. The plot of this musical, trigger warning for so many things, including suicide and gaslighting. This musical is about a boy named Deer. No, his name is
his name is Dear Evan Hansen.
A boy named Evan Hansen, who has been given the assignment by his therapist, whom we never see or hear from, to write himself a letter every day that starts out, Dear Evan Hansen, today is going to be a good day. And then, like, he's supposed to just, like, carry it around, I guess. I don't know. But he's printing out he's supposed to show them to his therapist. So he's printing it out in the computer lab of his school at the beginning of the musical. And this asshole guy, like, bully student, comes in and steals it.
A bully would do.
Yeah, he makes fun of it. He, like, shoves it in his backpack and he leaves. Important to note that Evan and this boy Connor are not friends. However, Evan is in unrequited girl next door love with Connor's sister. And he has only signed the letter "Sincerely Me." He has not used his own name in the ending of the letter.
So you didn't want to say Dear Evan from Evan.
Yeah.
Okay.
That night, Connor dies by suicide. And his parents find in his backpack a letter starting out, Dear Evan Hansen, signed sincerely me, and think that Evan and Connor were friends. Evan sees this opportunity to manipulate a grieving family into believing that he and Connor were in fact good friends by creating like a backlog of fake emails and shit between them, because it will help him get into the dead boy's sister's pants. But of course then it blows up in his face, because someone, like, he becomes like the face of this like Kickstarter project about like bullying and awareness, and like a very like general, like if you just saw like hashtag awareness, like it's that kind of vibe. And so like it comes clear that he has made up this whole thing, and like all through, like Connor is like a major part of the musical, like, but it's his ghost, and it's his but it's not even his ghost in like a hey what the fuck are you doing kind of way. It's what Evan imagines his Connor would be saying if he was there, so it's like obviously much more generous with Evan's behavior than actual right. Connor would be. Like the vibe you get at the very beginning of the musical, and I think there's even a song, like a line that kind of mentions it, is that Connor is the kind of kid that you're nice to so that he doesn't shoot you when someone inevitably brings a gun to school. Like he's not like a soft boy that like
he's a trash guy.
Just misunderstood. Like he's a jackass. But then he dies, and they find this letter, and like his parents and his sister think maybe he, like his sister who he's been also bullying for years, like all think like, oh shit, like maybe Connor was a misunderstood
youth,
like youth, like sad boy, like. And in the end, you never, like Evan doesn't really face any real consequences, even though it's found out that he made up all the stuff between him and Connor, and he has to like, and like Connor's family is aware of it. Like everything, like the fundraisers and shit he was doing still go ahead. And like at the end, it's kind of implied that he's forgiven for what he did, which is just like the most like manipulative bullshit that it's really funny. 'Cause I saw this musical live with my youngest brother, who is in love with Ben Platt, who played the main character, who like originated the role.
Yeah, but that part seems okay. That's like a thing in a person's attractive.
Yeah, I have nothing against Ben Platt, but he really loved this musical. So my mom had bought, like, he was coming up to New York to visit. My mom had bought us two tickets to see it, and he loved it. And I was nauseous by the end of the first act. And I was like, well, the set design was cool. And so like it's just like a very weird, shitty musical that people misunderstand what's happening. And like so like, and there's a lot of like other like subtle things, like where like Evan like yells at his single mom for like spending time like studying to get a better certification so that she can have a better job, or like throws out his like depression and anxiety medication like cold turkey, which is like a thing that can kill you, and is seen as like the right, like he's like, I don't need these anymore. It's like, no, that's not how that works.
Even if it can't kill you, it will put you through some very bad withdrawal, as I think all three of us have gone through just due to prescription issues at some point or another.
It's not fun.
No.
It doesn't make you a happier or a better person to suddenly stop having the chemicals that make your brain do the serotonin leave your brain.
Yeah, even in a not super, super scary way, it can at least let you be dizzy for a while, which is kind of scary. So, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, and so, like, there's just, like, a lot of, like, smaller things that I found very troubling, but inevitably they, well, first they did a YA adaptation, like, a book adaptation of it, which I am so glad my company did not end up publishing, in which they did, in fact, make Connor gay.
Oh, great.
You know, the suicidal like, school shooter bully boy.
So, like there's, like, a homophobia mixed with barrier gays?
Yeah, so there's, like, a weird cottage industry, and, like, that, like, from what I understood of the musical before I saw it, it was like, oh, it's about, like, this sweet gay boy and this misunderstood bully boy, and they, like, bond, and, like, that is not the musical. Evan is a heterosexual, and Connor is dead, but they made him gay in the book.
Definitely thought there was, like, a gay story. I thought it was the point, like...
Yeah, that's, like, everyone was like, this is Love, Simon, right? Like, no. This is not like Love, Simon.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that was news to me when you told me the plot. I'm like, wait, so, like, there's no gay dudes in this? Like, so, wait, so what did he... Wait, hold on.
Marry a gay.
Ugh, third of the bins.
Yeah, so that's all just the musical, like, stop. But then, so they're making a movie now that they have done the YA book adaptation, and now they're making a movie. And aside from the fact that I feel deeply vindicated that every single person who reacted to the trailer on my timeline or in my Facebook messages or anywhere was like, hold on a second. This isn't a cute gay high school story. This is fucked up. So I appreciate that. But the other thing, and I haven't watched the trailer because I love myself. And I'm not going to see the movie. But the other thing that is so funny is that care of the fact that the producer of this movie is a man named Mark Platt. Ben Platt, a 30-year-old man, is reprising his role as 16-year-old depressed teenager. Evan Hansen.
It just, like, it's just supposed to be, like, this serious story, but I can't just help but laugh at, like, yo, you don't look like you're supposed to be.
Yeah, like, and, like, he, like, posted this, like, sad thing, like, it was, like, his, like, memento, like, kind of thing. Like, he posted this sad shit about, like, how, like, depressing it is to log on and see that, like, the movie your dad bought you a role in is, like, you're being bullied for your appearance when you had to, like, diet and, like, do all this stuff to, like, make yourself look like that. Bro, there are teenagers playing Evan, like, teenagers have played Evan Hansen on Broadway. Like, you only have this role because your dad got you this role. Like, they could have cast an unknown, like they do in most movie musicals, like, and yeah. Yet.
Well.
So great. It's all bad, but I'm glad that everyone now realizes that it's bad, and I'm not the only one screaming into the void on the internet. I got so much hate when I posted my review of it back when we did the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. It was just like, I titled it like, a celebration of the, like, the extent to which we forgive white male mediocrity. Like,
you came out swinging. Justifiably so.
So mad. And, like, so many, like, 14-year-olds came into the comments to be like, no, I love this musical, and I've seen it a bunch of times, and you just don't understand Evan, and it's an important message about mental health, and
I don't think that's
true. We watch the same thing!
I'm not going to, but I feel like I'd have to see it to, like, try to understand what people are seeing in, other than, like, Ubu soft boy, like, gotta feel bad for him in his struggle, like... Like, I don't know, that feels like some, like, American Pie, like, teen... like, sex comedy type plot lines, some shit you'd see in Superbad, like, oh yeah, I lied about this to get into some girl's pants, and, like, I get, like, rocked for it, and, you know, since the patriarchy, I get forgiven for it, but, like, it's supposed to be, like, a shitty comedy where bad stuff happens, not, like, oh no, you poor soul, I can't believe you, like, aww. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
it feels like a role
it
that,
is
like,
exactly that.
Like, James Franco would be this character, like, this seems more like a James Franco movie than, like, who, like, this guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel right. It seems like a movie that Chris Evans would have been in, but not been the main character. He would have just been on the side,
like, like a side character, like a side frat bro character. Yeah. It's actually funny because Ben Platt was also, like, in Book of Mormon.
Oh.
And he played, I think Elder Cunningham is the one who is always lying. But, like, it literally is another musical about Ben Platt playing a character whose incessant lies build up and up and up until they finally come crashing down and he gets in trouble, and yet not really in trouble. Like, except that one's kind of funny because yeah. Trey Parker and Matt Stone wrote it, as opposed to Pasek and Paul, the composers of other notable unproblematic works of musical fiction, like The Greatest Showman and La La Land.
Sounds like some white people shit.
Yeah.
I think somebody white told me that I'm allowed to say that. But no, yeah, at least when Matt and Trey are doing something, like, there's a level of, like, they're kind of assholes and, like, might be trying to be assholes. So, like, if something's problematic, it usually isn't by accident. It doesn't make it good, but, you know. Oh. Hey, Disney has another new first gay character.
They're... Yet again. Here they are with their latest first gay character.
This one's, what, Cruella, I guess?
Yeah, they're in Cruella. I can't, like, just looking at the picture made me, like, ah, they fucked it up again.
Yep.
Like, I cannot tell the gender of this person. I cannot tell if they're supposed to be, like, a camp gay guy or, like, a kind of, like, soft butch lesbian or, like, I feel like if it was a non-binary person, they would have led with that.
Yeah.
Like...
If it was another company and you said those things, I'd be like, that's fine, though. But with Disney, I'm like, that's probably not... I don't know. I don't trust anything they do. So...
Yeah, it's just like...
Also, do they not count, like, the kiss from Star Wars? Does that not count as a Disney thing?
Yeah, apparently that does not count. But, like, I mean, I guess, like, because it's... Like, this is, like... Truly number 7, because there was the gay kiss in Star Wars, there was the fucking LeFou in the Beauty and the Beast remake, like, there was the gay cop in Onward.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just a lot, and just like, just to be able to know...
They just keep doing it.
The bullshit thing that they did in Endgame...
They, like, found something worse than queer baiting. They're like, actually, they're going to be queer, but you're not. It's not going to mean anything.
it's going to make you madder than if it was queer baiting. Like,
it's like they took away the hope without giving you the payoff.
Yeah, like, it's just so much, and, like, to look at something like The Mitchells versus the Machines, which Dom and I have both watched, that has, like, just a nice little bit of tangential queerness in it that is not made, like, a huge deal of, yeah. Or, like.
It's 100%, like, confirmable, and you can't sweep it under the rug. Like, theoretically, you could edit that out in markets that are more homophobic than the United States. We don't get to, like, grandstand just because we're slightly better than other places, so I'm not going to say it in a different way. But, like, she wears a little rainbow pin and has mannerisms that, like, most queer people are like, ah, I see me. And then at the end, her mom's like, oh, yeah, you know, you and so-and-so, you official, yeah. It's like, oh, cool. So this is, like, part of her character, and they're like... It's not part of the story.
And her family is.
Doesn't matter,
yeah,
but
family's, like, supportive and aware, like.
Yeah, and her dad's like, oh, I don't hate you for being gay. I hate you for liking dumb computers and the phones. Which, fine. That's not who she is. That's. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, like, there's so much creative queer representation. It happening in indie stuff, and so, like, so much. And, like, to bounce into, like, slightly into the next topic that is not actually the next topic, but it'll lead us into the final thing, and it'll be nice and smooth.
Cool.
So, The Eternals is supposed to be the first Marvel movie that has, an actual gay superhero character in it.
Okay.
And the first trailer for that dropped today. In the middle of the trailer, there are three, like... rapid fire shots of people kissing, because that's a requirement in any trailer to have the scene where people kiss in it.
I mean, that's more kissing that's been in most of the MCU so far, at least.
Fair. But all three of that kissings were, like, a boy and a girl kissing. So, like...
But they're gonna have it in there. It's
gonna
be there.
But there's
gonna
be a gay person in there.
Were they different
people
in those three flashes? Because, like, my phone was rendering, so I couldn't tell if it was, like, I just saw eyes. I didn't really see the heads.
You know,
on.
I watched it on my big work monitor, and I honestly could not also tell you. It was a very gold and black trailer.
Yeah, because I thought that because I thought what it was is it's the same two people kissing over and over throughout time. It was what I thought was happening. But it
That's
still was
possible.
A boy and a girl kind of thing.
Yeah,
but that shit was dark, like, and gray, and my man's like, the black dude was not lit well outside or inside. Like, it was rough.
Yeah. Hey, Kelly, or Chloe Zhao just won the best director to Tony. Jesus Christ. I am having a whole stroke.
It's fine.
No,
I think I can't blame bad stuff like that in a Marvel movie on this specific director, because they just get like churned through the machine. So I won't blame Chloe Zhao for some stuff.
There's a little bit of it, though, because I feel like Kevin Feige was rhapsodizing, because I think Austin Walker was tweeting about it or something, this is your god, kind of thing. He was rhapsodizing about the fact that, she wanted to shoot things on location instead of on, an empty, green screen soundstage. He was like, wow, it's just, it's such a different feel to have these places in the movie.
You mean the way that we've been doing it for the majority of time? I remember when Austin Walker, this is your god, and it's like, no, fandom was a mistake. Austin's right again.
And the other side of it, I saw a hot take that was the reason that so many movies depend on CGI as opposed to practical effects these days, is because CGI is one of the least unionized areas of the movie industry.
Yep.
And I was like, that's a hot take conspiracy theory that I will accept wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I accept that as probably having some portion of it. I wonder. Yeah.
I don't think it's the only reason, but I think that that could definitely be a big part of it.
Yeah, I wonder how much cheaper it would be to film some stuff on location versus CGI, depending on what it is. And if CGI was unionized, I wonder what the difference would be. But I also know they all the stuff in New Zealand, once all those people unionized, we stopped filming movies there. So there's definitely something involved there. Also, it's kind of trash that companies keep pulling out of Atlanta and Georgia and stuff for the bad decisions the politicians are making, even though pulling out is just hurting the unions and workers that actually work there. So it's messed up. Complicated stuff. I get it, putting the pressure on them, but I don't know the best way to do it. How do you put pressure on the big guy without hurting the little guy?
Yeah, and the government doesn't give a shit. Right. They only care that there's a little bit less money there, but
yeah. But the Eternals, I mean, Marvel really knows that we'll go see whatever the fuck they put in theaters, because that shit didn't tell me anything that I cared about. I'm like, Kumail Nanjiani's here. That's awesome. I'm glad, but
Angelina Jolie looks hot with blonde hair. Gemma Chan is here. I love her. Yeah, wasn't she?
Angelina Jolie looks like a less problematic Gal Gadot, depending on the headwear she's wearing.
But the thing that I spent the trailer wondering was wasn't Gemma Chan in Captain Marvel?
I don't know. There could be some Skrull stuff. I don't know.
She was a Kree person in Captain Marvel, but she had blue skin in that. So I guess they were well, we like her a lot, and we can make her be regular in this. So we'll just
Also, not to get too much into it, I looked it up. Thanos is an immortal / Deviant, which is who the Immortals are fighting. So I wonder if that's going to be a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about what's going to happen from this trailer, except that there are several hot people.
That's true.
And it's more diverse than any,
most of the shit that comes out.
Especially. What a silly name for a group of, villains, though, the Deviants.
Right.
I don't know if they chose that name. I'm curious. DeviantArt is full of villains. The one nice touch at the end is that there's the tag. There's a joke I wonder who's going to lead the Avengers now that Iron Man and Captain Rogers are gone. It's yeah, we still have a Captain America, so you can't say Captain America is gone. There is a Captain America, and that's kind of cool that they're acknowledging Sam as Captain America. So,
I'm glad that you picked that out of that, because I felt that scene was Okay, yeah, but I was watching it, and I was this seems I appreciate that they wanted to put something in the trailer that humanized the characters, but it felt, so out of place with, the, large-scale, drama, high fantasy drama of the rest of the trailer, and it was, I think someone else, Kendra James, who's a pop culture writer, was, Chloe Zhao must have been given the direction, what's the shawarma scene in this movie?
Yeah, it had that same exact energy, which might be on purpose to have, the match, hey, it's the same, it's a group of people after a big thing, kind of,
chilling,
and talking about
relaxing.
That other group, Max and Relax and All Cool. Yeah, I don't know, it could just be something hey, we're just talking, and this connects us to the MCU in a way that humanizes us. It's felt put in, but there was still something nice in it, which, you know. And we'll finish on some tea, some drama.
More so Kevin Feige bullshit. Yeah,
Kevin Feige was interviewed. Someone sent me the interview, like on, it was like a Men's Health interview or something. I don't know where it was actually at. Could have been there. But he was talking about how the Tilda Swinton whitewashing wasn't a good idea, and they realized that very swiftly once they got the backlash. But he said the reason it happened is because they were trying to be clever, but I guess didn't have, like, which, when I read why he made this decision, I see how you could get there, but you definitely just didn't have any people of color in the room, especially Asian people, to tell you, like, how to go about this. Because, like, the Immortal kind of felt like a tropey thing, like a harmful stereotype, which I think maybe that critique has been made. It's like, well, we don't want to make it like this old man, so we're going to, like, have it be an Asian woman. But it has, like, some weird dragon lady stereotypes, too, so we don't really want to do that, but we do want to subvert it, so we'll make it, like, a white woman. So I could see how you didn't. I could see why you didn't want to go with an Asian person because of stereotypical reasons, but I would have asked some Asian people, what's a good way to do this in a not hurtful way, rather than just doing the whitewashing.
Yeah, I think that they were thinking about the optics of it without thinking about the like how they could subvert the optics of it without thinking about how they could subvert the character.
Yeah.
And like there's totally a way you could have cast an Asian person in that role and made it not stereotypical by, like, I mean, like, look at Raya. Raya is full of people who are Asian playing people who are Asian, but none of the characters feel like a stereotypical, like, racist thing because they were consulted.
Yeah.
On also, the could have just of it.
Just been an Asian dude who didn't talk in a weird accent about old, like, ancient mysticism that's like BS, you know, just, hey, it's me, I'm...
Hey, it's your boy, the ancient one.
Yeah, it's me, what's up, guys? Like, yeah, I'm Asian. Okay, moving on. Like, you could have done it. And I guess the other thing is there were, like, no prominent Asian characters in the MCU up until that point. Like, the most prominent character I can think of was, like, the doctor who made Ultron's body and, like, repaired Hawkeye. Yeah, I think
she's, like, one of the only Asian people in the whole MCU.
I think. Yeah, because Mantis is, like, she's not
officially an alien.
Yeah, she's an alien. Her actress, I mean. Kind of like how Gamora and Nebula are.
Yeah. Nebula is played by a white lady, but...
Well, I mean, like, also, like, Gamora. Like, they're, but, like, yeah, those Gamora three people are aliens.
Like, she's not... Yeah.
Funny thing. Palm Clemente, Sam Jackson, Elizabeth Olsen, and Josh Brolin are in the American remake of Oldboy. It's just funny that many characters from the MCU are in the same movie, playing different sides of conflicts. It's just a stupid thing to think of.
It's too bad that movie was bad.
Yeah, the original apparently was pretty good.
The original was fantastic, though very disturbing to watch. Yeah. I don't know if I'd really recommend it.
All the trigger warnings, actually?
Yeah, like, literally all
racism.
Of them.
Maybe there's not racism in that movie, but all the rest. Read a synopsis if you don't want to get into some wild stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Kevin Feige, really good at, like, building a living, working system, but maybe, like, not the best to consult on, like, sensitivity issues.
Or maybe filmmaking. An older white man is not that guy.
But, like, yeah, there's so many people we could be giving a chance to. On the scale of white dudes, he's at least better than a lot of people because he's willing to say, like, that wasn't great that we did that. And I mean, he appeared to have some cognizance of that when, like, he had the whole comment about we didn't want to throw Doctor Strange into the end of WandaVision. So we will give him credit for trying, but the bar is literally on the floor, and we're going to ask that we're doing hurdles soon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying, so, I mean, that puts him in the upper 50%. It's not good enough, but it's there we are. Yeah, that's an episode. We did it. Long one, but, you know, we're friends. We're homies. We're having a good time.
Woo! Yeah, we had to talk about Chick-fil-A sauce for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Food! Hey, Steph, can you hit the people with the social media biz in Minecraft?
Yeah, in Minecraft. I will only hit them in Minecraft, though. Don't worry. If you want to find us on the internet, well, we are not in Minecraft.
Actually, yeah, that's the one place you can't find us.
I mean, I have a Minecraft server.
You can find Eric's Minecraft server. It's probably under Tindilosi on Minecraft somehow.
Actually, it's not, but...
Oh, well. Diversity of screen names, baby. I don't know how Minecraft works, so I don't know. But if you want to find us not in Minecraft, you can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev, on Facebook and Instagram at CharacterReveal, your browser at CharacterReveal.Simplecast.fm, and your podcast catcher of choice by searching for CharacterReveal. Send us an email. Tell Eric that thing that he asked about earlier that I can't remember already what he asked about.
He can't remember either.
About Chick-fil-A children.
Yes.
You can email us at CharacterReveal@gmail.com. You can rate and review us. You can support us in a variety of ways. In fact, you can rate and review us on your podcast catchers. You can boost our Twitter and all that kind of jazz. You can follow us on the internet in the places and the social medias that allow you to do such a thing. You can become a supporter on Patreon by donating $1 or more a month to support our little efforts here. And kick it over to Dom for the coffee spiel.
Spiel it up. Hey, yeah, that's cool. Grinding Coffee Company. They're our sponsor, and they sell fair trade coffee. They're LGBTQ+ owned, black owned, and yeah, really good company. They have lots of fun flavors. I'm gonna get some of their coffees soon. I recently got a French press, so I'm hyped up on coffee. But yeah, so if you like us, black people, queer people, coffee, or just a deal, I've got good news for you. You can go into our show notes, our description, follow the affiliate link, and use offer code CHARACTERREVEAL for 10% off. And yeah, I mean, that'll just be great for you. It's coffee. Go get it.
It's good coffee. We got some. I got mine that I bought for our trip in a couple weeks. While I was away on this last trip, it came. I opened the packages. It smells so good.
Hell yeah.
Excellent. Coffee is great. And if you can't drink coffee, I mean, they have some other merch and some cool stuff. So, I mean, it's all good. Find something. Yeah. Gift seasons are probably coming up. but yes.
Father's Day is good coffee opportunity.
Yeah, so, you know.
A coffertunity.
Yes, caffeine-tunity. So, yeah, if you have a good relationship with your father, whether it be step or biological, you can get some coffee. And if you're not, get some coffee for the daddy in your life.
Buy me some coffee. If you have a bad dad, you can buy me some coffee because I'm your dad now.
Yeah, Steph will be your dad now.
Steph can say that, and it's okay.
Yeah, get them some coffee. He'll appreciate
it. Hell yeah.
Or Eric and I also can be your friends. I am no one's daddy. Please don't. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of CHARACTERREVEAL. We do appreciate you coming in every week and listening and all the shares and all that good stuff. But until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.